A pivotal series for the Boston Red Sox gets underway this evening, 7:10, first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And you got four big games here this series before the break, and we will talk to the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, coming up at 9 this morning. And then we're going to play Hill Notes back at about 9:20 or 9:30. So you can leave one of those at any time on any topic on the Odyssey app. Very simple to leave a voice note there and share your creativity with the world. There's a microphone that you will see on the app, and all you got to do is click on that and talk away. And Odyssey app is a great way to listen to us and to listen to this radio station if you cannot listen on the radio. So you can listen from anywhere at any time, even if you are attending the 60th annual Yarmouth Clam Festival as a vegetarian. Shime was in the middle of the news when we were rudely interrupted. Shime, continue, please.
Thank you, Greg. The Diocese of Fall River has removed a priest over claims of sexual misconduct. A priest has been removed from ministry after credible allegations of sexual misconduct involving two different parishioners. The Diocese of Fall River has removed priest Jay Mello from St. Michael's and St. Joseph's after an investigation found allegations of sexual misconduct involving the two parishioners to be credible. The attorney for one of the victim stated that his client was sexually abused in 2011 and reported the incident, but church leaders did not take action.
How is this still going on, and how are they not taking action? Like, everything that happened, you know, great film about it, since we were talking about film. Spotlight is a really good film. You ever seen that?
I love Spotlight.
It's a really, really well done film, but it's ridiculous. So, all right.
We can hear from an attorney of one of the victims, Mitchell Garabedian, on WCVB.
My client was violently sexually abused. This was violent. It was a violent episode involving physicality, involving alcohol. It's haunted my client.
Awful. So I'm glad they figured it out and did something finally, but 2011 is a long time ago.
Greg, if a law passes, a new shark alert system could empower authorities to quickly deploy warnings through mobile phone alert messages after a shark attack.
Okay. Isn't it a little late after the attack?
Right.
I'd prefer that it occurred prior to the attack.
Well, so, Greg, you don't know that the shark's there until after the attack, normally, okay. Unfortunately.
But so what's the point? Like, the thing has already eaten your neighbor.
Then helps people not go in the water.
Actually, okay, that's the time to go in the water, because then you know the shark's full.
Correct. Right. Yeah,
the shark's appetite is.
I think the shark is a lot like us, or like me and Wiggy at least, where we're not necessarily satiated after one bite.
I see. Okay.
Right. So Lulu's Law is now in the hands of the House of Representatives after being approved by the Senate. The bipartisan bill is named after Alabama teenager Lulu Gribben, who was one of three people bitten by a shark off the Florida Panhandle last year. We can hear from Dr. Greg Skomel with Mass Division of Marine Fisheries on WBZ.
And if there's one shark feeding in that area, there could be others as well. So we have seen a series of bites in a very small area over a very short period of time.
Mm. Okay. I understand that, I guess.
Well, what they should do...
Better than nothing.
But here's what they could do, and this is probably a good business idea for one of these tech people.
Jackson?
Yes. Like, the beachy areas, they should have the ability to put, like, these type of sensors, you know, out in the water, down in the water. And so it's like a barrier. So as soon as the shark breaches that sensor, that's when you would get the alert that, hey, there's a shark in the... Because they tag these sharks anyways.
You mean like underwater
not
lasers?
All of the sharks
they
are
don't
tagged.
Have all the sharks. They don't have them all tagged.
Well, but if they're in the area where the shoreline is, maybe you can have people tagging and then...
Like an electric fence.
Yeah, which is under the water. And then as soon as they breach that, then that's when you get the alert. You know, where the people are, well, they would be able to get out of the water.
They do have the app where they have reports of the sharks, so you can know that a shark has been in the area. I guess this is more just like a push notification of, hey, like that. I saw it compared to an Amber Alert of like when it pops up on your phone, like alert, alert, right. There was a shark
In the water. It chimes right. Just like an underground, just like, you know, the underground, the fence for dogs. As soon as that shark breaks that little area, you get an alert.
Right, and then lasers that, like, shoot the shark.
We make too big of a deal out of the sharks. We really do.
Have you ever been bitten by one?
Have you ever met somebody from New Mexico? It's like, it's not real.
I understand, but it's
you know? Sharks are very real.
Yeah, shark attacks happen all the time.
You've seen Jaws.
That's what I mean. I think it's because one of the best movies of all time was about shark attacks. And so since then, everyone's been obsessed with shark attacks. And, of course, it's more sharks going to Cape Cod and especially around Chatham with the seal population, but we make too much out of the shark thing.
Right. All right.
Well, guys, it's time for your airline incident of the day.
Oh, excellent.
Flight 209, are you clear to take off?
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy doing the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
Is this about a woman losing her S because her flight to New York was delayed last night at Logan?
No, unfortunately. It was about a woman who's gone kind of nuts because she pulled the biggest douche move you can pull on a plane, in my opinion.
Uh-oh.
My number one douche move?
As soon as the plane lands, she sprints to the front of the plane ahead of everybody else in front of her.
Can't stand them.
Oh, they're the worst
kind of people.
Stand them. The thing lands and they stand up and then they start crowding you, shoving you out of the way. You feel like as a human being who's competitive, then you have to stand up and block them. So where was this lady? She was on a flight trying to sneak off before everybody else.
That's correct. And everybody else took offense with it, and a giant verbal argument broke out. We can hear some of that verbal argument from the video that went viral.
Right now,
let's
shut your mouth.
I don't want to
wait for the people in front of me to get up.
There's
nothing to do
with it. My God, you're all whiny for no reason.
Where you
going?
Let the people go.
Wow.
I hold get up the way you want to.
Okay.
You're just a Karen, and that's just the way it is.
Just deal with it, people. My God.
Why don't you all shut up?
It's not affecting any of you.
No, but you're sitting in the
You guys are so funny. You're the Karens about it because you're the ones who are making noise. Nobody's bothering you. It's not even an
interpersonal.
I'm sorry, do you have my permission to record me?
It's public.
F-bombs. Oh, God. Right. Just deal with it. No. Just deal with you thinking that you're better than everybody else and that you deserve to get off before everybody else. No.
If you want to get off first, pay for the first seat.
If these people are so entitled.
But it is so satisfying when you watch them get called out by someone else.
Oh, I know. It's great.
Like, just being an innocent bystander watching it, being like, yes. And when the guy starts going, Karen, Karen. Like, I would have been behind him, like, Karen.
What's your excuse? Like, where are you going that you need it? Like,
she's more important than you, Wiggy. She needs to get off.
She's just going home. Right. Like, 9 times out of 10, people are just going home.
Unless you're on a flight where you're trying to, and they usually say, hey, if you're, like you said, you're on these flights, then you got to, you know, sprint to the next gate. I get it. But if you're just like the rest of us, do it like the church pew. Wait for everybody.
And normally flight attendants will let you know if someone needs to get off the plane first to go to another flight.
I have a worse time at the gate when people are boarding the plane. Because, you know, there's always like 7 different boarding groups.
Yeah,
and at different points,
either.
It's like active military, young families.
They're standing up there.
They just crowd it.
But it's because of the overhead bins.
Like, I know, because they're crazy with the roller bags.
Right. And they want to stuff theirs in so there's no room for anybody else. And they're not going to pay to have their luggage flown.
Here's my thing.
The biggest flight hack on the planet is take a bag that would be going in the overhead bin. And as soon as you get to the gate, they ask, would anybody like to check their bag? And then you get to check it for free.
Oh, I don't like
every time.
Don't.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. My bag.
And then you don't have to worry about any of the overhead bin space.
Mega, I am a businessman.
You've called her Courtney.
Yes. Megan. But her name is Megan. Mego, here's my other business idea that I had. The no carry-on flight. So for people like myself who don't bring a carry-on, I check my, you know, I check my bag. There's flights that have no overhead bins, so you can't bring a carry-on.
Then you have to deal with any of those people.
Then you don't have to deal with them.
Then you make it double-decker seating. Then you stick some more seats in there instead of the overhead space.
Well, and the top ones could be bunk beds.
Yeah, you know? sleeping spaces.
Because I had brought up the idea, the no carry-on security check-in, where if you're like myself, who just has a wallet and a phone, we ain't got to worry about a guy opening it up, taking out his four laptops, making sure his socks don't fall out. So it's great. Another business idea if you want to kind of go in on it.
Thank you. Thank you for the offer. My feeling is, though, if you buy a ticket and it says you can bring a carry-on item, then the plane should be able to accommodate the size of the carry-on item. So don't be coming to me during boarding saying we're already through group four and we're not going to be able to accommodate these carry-on
items. That's because other people are selfish and bring a bag that really doesn't fit and jam it in there.
Right.
And they bring like three things that they claim can fit under their seat, and they don't put them under their seat.
When they put the jackets in the overhead space, I'm like, you're a jerk.
Yeah. But
take your jacket down.
They bring the carry-on and then a giant backpack, and so they end up stuffing both up there. That's the problem with the people who say, well, I bring the right size carry-on. No, you don't. You bring a carry-on, you bring a backpack, and then some people have giant purses.
Something about flying turns people into absolute animals.
Oh, yeah.
Animals. All right, what's next? Any other news?
Yes, so a Boston City Councilor from District 4, Brian Worrell, has filed a resolution calling for the WNBA to move a franchise to Boston, in particular the Connecticut Sun, which may become available, currently owned by the Mohegan Tribe, and the WNBA had announced an expansion just over a week or so ago. Councilor Worrell says he's looking forward to having a women's WNBA team that is as storied as the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
Wow.
Are they for sale? Are the Suns?
So it seems like the Connecticut Sun may be coming, become for sale soon.
Okay. All right. They'll probably spend $500 million building an arena for them, and the Celtics will be stuck playing in the Garden.
Why can't they play at TD? It'll be in the summer.
They're playing.
Sold out.
Caitlin Clark will be there July 15th.
You're going to that, right?
I'm
going
to try.
That's next week.
Yeah, and the Big Three will be there July 13th. Well, they probably couldn't play there because what's that commute like? You know what I mean?
If you're moving franchise, they're not staying in Connecticut.
Oh, you're saying
they would get apartments in Boston.
Living in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
No. They moved to Boston.
They would move
the whole thing moves to Boston.
Yeah, I'm all for the whole thing in Boston.
I think they should have male cheerleaders.
So some of them do.
Some
teams have male cheerleaders. I think the Celtics have a few male cheerleaders.
She's talking about WNBA.
All male cheerleaders. We could make it like Magic Mike.
But then somebody's going to complain. That's not equal rights.
No, that would be equality. Like, generally you mostly have female cheerleaders in the NFL. So this is Mego saying it should be equal.
They could do feats of strength.
Feet picks of strength?
No, feats of strength.
Oh, what is this?
They could like prove,
Festivus?
Too much feet talk.
They could like lift up, heavy stuff and show off their muscles.
Greg, I have bad news for Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh.
So when him and Mrs. Wiggins apart, I presume they take, they probably participate in some FaceTime sex every once in a while.
Okay,
if they're ever separated for a long period of time.
What's wrong with that?
Well, now,
sexting.
On the next iPhone update, Wiggy, the iPhone will alert you if you're having FaceTime sex and make sure you're consenting. In the event of a FaceTime call that starts to get a little bit too revealing, a warning will apparently pop up while the video freezes and audio stops. This feature was first brought to the attention of Apple users by a Twitter account and says it's still in beta testing.
Well, if you're having FaceTime sex, I don't think they need to alert you that you're having FaceTime sex. Like, I think you know it.
Yeah, but I think it's more so for, like, if you're having FaceTime with somebody and then, say an inappropriate guy just whips out his stuff. That's what they don't want.
But how would
somebody dumps it out?
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
How would they be able to do that, though?
Alert, and then the shark alert comes up. There's also a shark.
Snake alert is what they call it. But doesn't that mean then that Apple is actually listening to you and watching you while you are having FaceTime, while it's leading to FaceTime?
Not necessarily.
Are people not alarmed by what?
Could be an AI program that detects, sexual images.
Yeah, that's not going to fly.
I mean,
because how you're going to need trigger words, right? In the FaceTime conversation. Where you said, like, the shock alert, you're going to need the the trigger word alert. Like if you hear, ooh, you sexy, bing, 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 bing. Yeah. That could be anything.
Well, maybe wouldn't it work probably more like facial recognition? And it'd be recognizing right. anatomy, maybe?
Anatomy yes, recognition.
I yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg, I don't know if this is robot uprising worthy quite yet, but Major League Baseball plans to use its robot umpire technology for ball strike challenges in Tuesday's All-Star Game
really?
In Atlanta.
Mm. Okay.
So this is the same process that was used in
spring
past,
training.
Correct, in spring training. Each team will be given two challenges with the ability to retain them if successful. Only a pitcher, catcher, or hitter can ask for the challenge. MLB officials say 72% of fans who were polled during spring training said the impact of this on the game was a, quote, positive one.
I love it. Like, if you have the technology, you should use it.
That's
like,
what All-Star Games are for, to mm-hmm. test yeah, out all this weird stuff.
I mean, I understand you're replacing human beings with robots, and we can argue about that all day long, but I think they should do it all the time in Major League Baseball. I generally
think of it as like a tool that you can add, and maybe eventually it'll go that way,
see,
but
so
I feel like it's got to be like a
thing.
Gradual add.
So you're going to use a robot umpire the whole game?
No, so it's just a...
Just balls
they
and
have,
strikes.
Yeah, they have a ball and strike system so that you can challenge it. So there will still be an umpire calling mm-hmm. balls and strikes.
Right.
But if a pitcher, catcher, or hitter believes they are incorrect, you can challenge it. And if you're successful, you retain your challenge. If you're not successful, okay. the call stays as it was.
So it's only going to be like, you're only going to really use it when that strike is like in a critical situation of a game.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it may not be. It may just be first pitch, umpire way out of the zone, umpire calls a strike, and the hitter's like, that's not a strike.
Was it unlimited challenges? Or
two challenges, but if you're successful, you retain the challenge.
Okay.
Stupid.
Yeah. I'm down with it.
I'm
down with it because it will improve the game. So, all right, is that it?
I got one last yes. one for you if you want it real quick.
Yeah.
Mattel has introduced the first Barbie with type 1 diabetes.
Oh.
Mattel really? Has introduced its first Barbie representing a person with type 1 diabetes as part of a wider effort for the toy maker to increase inclusivity amongst its dolls. We can hear from the mom of a kid with diabetes on NBC News thinking it's pretty cool.
When she saw this Barbie, it's the only time I've seen her ask for a doll. So she saw something in it that she sees in herself, which is really cool.
All right. So are they going to do that?
Seems like they're going to now do that for everything.
All kinds of things.
I want my ADHD Barbie. I want to be recognized my ADHD right. Barbie.
Were you a Barbie girl growing up?
When I was really little, probably.
When you were little.
Then I graduated to like American Girl doll.
Barbie yeah. Girl Rejoin? It's a banger song by Aqua.
Okay, maybe.
Okay.
It's summertime. I guess I might be okay mm-hmm. with that.
Let it slide.
Yeah.
So does it come with like, you know, like the type 1 diabetes doll have to take like a shot? Does
probably.
It come with a little
probably.
Needle?
Probably. Can't feed Barbie any candy
right.
or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Excellent chime. Thank you.
You're welcome, Greg.
That is the news. We have a lot to talk about with Mego when it comes to the Celtics, so we'll do that coming up. What are we doing? In which we question what is going on around us in society coming up at 8:45. And Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, one more time before the All-Star break at 9 on today's show.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox swept the Rockies with a 10-2 win last night, led in part by the return of Masataka Yoshida. He went 3-for-4 with a double and RBI in his season debut. Carlos Narvaez, Willier Abreu, Romy Gonzalez, and Jaron Duran all homered for the Sox. They've extended their win streak to 6 games, matching their season best. Here's manager Alex Cora on the Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
There's a lot of energy right now. Well, obviously, that comes with winning and swinging the bat well. But we just got to be ready for tomorrow. We got a big series against the Rays. And, just go out there and play hard.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today.
This is going too far. Texter is asking about when Chlamydia Barbie is coming out. I am I know you want to instruct right. children about all kinds of risks and things right. that, but I think that's going.
Are they gonna come out with Fat Ken? So for the kid who's like, you know, might be dealing with some weight issues.
Sure, good point.
I don't know.
They're gonna have the Fat Ken,
yeah. overweight Ken, yeah.
the balding Ken.
I could use that one.
Right, the Ken doll with the is balding.
He comes with a little Rogaine.
No. Maybe lactose intolerant Ken.
Ooh.
That would be a good.
He comes with oat milk.
That would be a good one.
Lionel Messi had two goals in the Inter-Miami-New England Revolution match at Gillette Stadium last night. That was enough for a 2-1 win over the Revs, and Messi becomes the first player in MLS history to score multiple goals in four straight league matches. Devin Booker has agreed to a two-year, $145 million max contract extension with the Phoenix Suns.
Whoa!
The highest annual extension salary in NBA history per ESPN's Shams Charania that runs through the 2029-2030 season.
So what's that? 70...
2 million or something?
72 and a half.
That is making Jaylen Brown's contract look excellent.
So I when do we reach the point of $100 million guy in the NBA?
Wow. Could that be Tatum on his next extension?
Cooper Flagg's extension when he gets one?
I mean, but
when
think about how
superbacks.
Think about how quick they went from 45, 50 million to 70 million. You know,
where is the money coming from? Because all I hear Curtis talk about is how awful the ratings are.
But the TV rights deal was massive.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that
the
is
Reds,
crazy.
The Red Sox welcome the Tampa Bay Rays to Fenway tonight for the first of four games. Walker Buehler gets the start for the Sox. You can catch all of it here. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call at 7:10 on the Shaw's Star Market Radio Red Sox Network. Christian Arcan gets you ready with pregame at 6:10. That's what's trending, brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tom Karen and Tom E. Curran. Call 1-800-GET-HAIR for your free hair loss consultation.
Big problem, apparently, for driving right into the puddle, Barbie, on Storrow Drive this morning and on the expressway and on in Randolph, of all places, if you have yet to go outside because of the torrential downpour. Those roads are like it's flash flood situation on those roads.
Crazy.
So avoid them if you can. I don't know.
Unless you got a duck boat.
This week is like a blow-off week for people, so I don't even know if people... The week after the 4th, I think it's the number one vacation week, and nobody does anything at work anyways. So.
Okay, Greg, I have a real-life scenario that I need you to weigh in on.
Yes.
Because I am more on your side of the street when it comes to remote work. So I think if you work in an office setting and your boss tells you to come back in 4 days a week, that should be fine. One of my friends just took a job. And she found out after she accepted the job that she has to be in office every single day.
Yeah.
And she's really mad.
Well,
thought she would, from the jump, at least get one day working from home. And she asked me, do you think it's ridiculous? Am I being ridiculous for being really annoyed about this? And I said, kinda,
yes,
yeah.
Good. You should. How did she not know? What kind of job was it?
Like it's a government job.
Oh, it's a government job. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's reasonable to expect that people might come into the office every once in a while in this economic times,
right.
in this economy.
But their mindsets are so effed up that everybody nowadays, they think asking them to come in 5 days a week is wrong. Like, you should be the max you should ask me to come in is 3 days a week,
mm-hmm.
because their mind is so opposite the other way now, where if you go to work more than 3 days a week, it's like basically where we used to be, thinking like, oh, you ask me to work on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's crazy how they think. Crazy.
Yeah, I would tell her that it's reasonable that they are asking that. I think that's what I
said. You already took the job. Sorry, yeah, bud. You got to be in the office.
Courtney is off for a week and a half, and Curtis is off next mm-hmm. week as well. But Mego was here, and we heard from Derek White, who is delighted to still be here as a Boston Celtic, and I, as our Celtics insider at this radio station, Wanted to ask you about whether this you believe Brad Stevens is done. Is this when you look at this roster now, is that how they are headed into next season from what you are hearing?
My personal opinion is that they're not done. And mostly it's financial. Like, if you look at, it's clear one of the goals of this offseason was to be under the second apron of the CBA. And they're a little bit over the second apron because of what they got back in trades and what they did in free agency. So even if you're like being, I don't know, very cynical and saying, well, the goal of the Celtics was to offload these salaries and have a down year in terms of getting under, maybe even getting under the luxury tax and not be a tax repeater, they still haven't done that. So, like, they could still move somebody like Anfernee Simons. He's on a $27.7 million contract that is an expiring contract, so it's easy to move. Like, even if they wanted to add more to their front court, get another big, because they don't have anybody on the roster right now who's a traditional starting big, they could flip Simons, open up some of that space, and then maybe bring back a smaller piece financially who would be a starting big. So I don't think it's going to be anything that's like giant fireworks in terms of a core player like Jalen or Derek moving. But I also think that it's just pretty obvious that they have to make some other moves before you get to the beginning of the season.
You're in favor of doing the Dame Lillard deal?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. To me, it is the most obvious thing. I don't understand an argument against it. It's basically like found money. I mean, this guy is maybe going to cost you $5.6 million if you do the mid-level tax exemption. That's nothing. And he won't play this year.
Nope.
He'll come back the following year, hopefully be somebody who's kind of like a luxury piece for you, very cheap. He can be a volume scorer off the bench. You have Peyton Pritchard as your starting point guard, and then you bring Dame Lillard in off the bench. Like, it's just, it's such an unusual circumstance for you to be in with a player of that caliber. Yeah, he's getting older. Yeah, he's coming off of a dramatic injury. But the risk is so low. It doesn't even count against your
tax. Yeah, and just the player that you look at that he could be, and not he's going to be the Dame Lillard that we all know, but he'll still have some of that late game Dame Dollar where, and we were talking about this yesterday, where the league has become, you know, try to get to the paint and then dish to open guys to spot up in the corner. And one of the callers said, well, what about Russell Westbrook? I would say, give me Dame Lillard, because when you got Tatum driving or Jaylen driving, he kicks out to Dame Lillard in the corner for one of them open threes. I would much rather have that guy who I know can knock shots down like that. And I'm with you on this one, Mago. It is a no-brainer that you add a guy for that cheap and low risk, high reward, could be a guy that in, you know, a playoff game or two or a couple goes out there and scores 27, 28 points.
Who can you get from a big perspective if you're throwing Simons out there?
So, I mean, at this point, most of the free agents who would be a big impact player are gone or signed. So it would have to be a trade that you'd execute. And even then, if you look at what Cornette and what Al Horford are, and what Al Horford's probably going to get with his next team, like, because those guys are in that $10 million a year range, you have to imagine, Brad Stevens told us the other day that they made offers to both of those guys. They're looking much lower than that in terms of what they're paying. So I mean, I've always been a little intrigued by Mo Wagner from the Orlando Magic. He's somebody who has been a free agent because they didn't pick up his option for his final year. But even that is just like very, very rich for this offseason.
What about the guy from Chicago? His name is Vucevic. Is that how you say?
Oh, yeah.
His name has kind of been thrown out a lot. But does he make a ton of money, though?
I don't have his contract in front of me. I'm not sure. But is it possible that they run out Nemias Keita and Luka Garza, their new acquisition, as their starters, and you get like Xavier Tillman as a bench piece? It's just it's hard to imagine that they're completely finished there, but I think whoever they add in that big spot is not going to be somebody like, I don't know, like a Jonathan Kuminga level, like huge name that you would know.
And where do they end up with Jaylen Brown as your alpha and as currently composed? What do they end up? Are they a playoff team? Are they? What seed do they end up being at?
I say that they're either a six seed or in the play-in. I think that that's kind of where they're at, realistically. Mm. It'll be interesting to see. Wiggy and I were talking about this during the break a couple breaks ago. It'll be interesting to see if they keep Simons. That would indicate to me that they are so heavily leaning towards being an offensive powerhouse team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're basically going to say, our strength is in offense. We're continuing with the Missoula ball. We're going to try to score as much as we can and kind of play defense through our offense. If they move on from Anfernee Simons and they bring back somebody else, I think that that may look a little different. But I think, I don't know, I think a six seed feels like the most accurate, but at the same time, I don't think that the Eastern Conference has gotten better in the wake of the finals.
Yeah, and the Nikola Vucevic, he's like $21 million, so it's like flipping Simons. It's basically the same amount of money.
I don't think they'd go for that.
But you're right. When you start to look at this team, but I'm cool because my expectations are not high. Like, as a Celtics fan, I'm not looking at this year for them to go in and compete for a championship. Like, my expectations are not high. So if you're a five seed, a six seed, you're in the playoff round. Like, all right, that's what I expected. My thing is, all right, how are you setting up the year after? I don't even want Tatum playing at all
this
year.
Okay, so Wiggy, what happens if they get past the second round of the playoffs and Tatum says he's good to go? Like, what if Tatum has played very sparingly? He's like on a Kristaps Porzingis playoff plan where he's played like two games. Do you have him playing in the playoffs?
So you said if they get past the second round?
Yeah.
So then that means they're headed into the Eastern Conference Finals?
Mm-hmm. Do you play Tatum? Tatum says, I am good, guys.
Like, I'd have to see how he looked, Nat, when he's playing sparingly to see what he looks like, you know? Because I don't equate him to Kevin Durant, you know, but I look at the Kevin Durant model of Kevin Durant when he blew his Achilles out. I know Tatum is much younger when it happened. I think Durant might have been 31 at the time where, you know, where Tatum's, what, 27? So I still expect Tatum to come back and be Tatum that we've seen before.
774 texter on the Subaru of New England text line, and I hear this frequently, says they can win the East without Jason Tatum, which is I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not buying
that one. I think
it'll
be tough to get past Cleveland and New York, but I mean, even the Hawks have gotten a lot better.
Right.
But at the same time, the Pacers have gotten significantly worse.
Right, but you were probably going to lose the series against New York with everybody. So now you really are going to have Jaylen Brown, Derek White, P. Pritch, and maybe Simon, and then however you patch the rest of the team together. So, and it looks like New York could potentially get Giannis, or they could get better. I don't really see how they can say that about this Celtics team.
Yeah. 978 texts are all over your insider status, saying they should be higher than a six seed, and calling you out on being an insider. I mean, you're there all the time. That's what I consider to be an insider.
If you want them to be higher than a six seed, I love that. Like, I would love the more optimistic perspective. I think I got 2 feet on the ground, and I'm looking at it and saying, I don't know who the starting big is, and that's just a big question.
Right.
So we'll see. And maybe the roster, like I said, I don't think they're done. So what does the roster look like when you're in September, when you start heading into training camp? We'll see.
You want to come at Mego, you got to go through Shime.
There you go.
And then Wiggy. And then Jackson. And if necessary, I mean, I do wear glasses, but I would be the line of final defense.
Okay.
What's that person think? Like do they think that this team's going to be a fourth seed? Because I feel like they could fall anywhere between 4 and 7. Yeah. But does he think they're going to, do they think they're going to be a 1 or a 2 seed?
I think they do.
Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Stop it.
All right. We got to take a break. Coming up at 9, Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow one more time before the All-Star break. And then at 9:20, we are playing your Hill Notes back. So leave one of those. You have plenty of time to leave a voice note on any topic on the Odyssey app. Sox begin a series with the Rays, a pivotal series with the Rays this evening. 7:10 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox radio network. Any way that the rain can continue long enough that Walker Buehler does not have to be a starter for the Boston Red Sox in this series?
Maybe he'll get stuck in some of the traffic from the flooding, and they'll have to start somebody else.
Yeah, somebody has been sitting, 617 texter has been sitting in at not moving at the Braintree split for one full hour.
Oh,
damn.
God. Yes.
Man, I feel bad.
Thoughts and prayers. But yeah, you got excellent series at home this weekend. If you go to WEEI.com and tell us why you are Boston's number one diehard, then you could be chosen at random every month to attend a Sox game. That is brought to you by Sam Adams, the official beer of Fenway. Whether you're at home or at the park, it's not a Sox game without Sam. And we will talk with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, coming up in a little bit. And Mego, who is here from Courtney, has a lot to ask him about.
I'm nervous. I've never talked to him.
Oh, you haven't?
I've never talked to him.
He's got a great personality. You're going to love
him. Okay.
Have you ever called like a business and gotten a customer service AI?
Yes.
Okay, that's essentially what it is.
So it's like talking to a menu?
No,
okay.
No disrespect.
Yeah. Respectfully talking to him.
No disrespect. All right.
If you need a lift to Worcester, please call Driveline.
Can we get to what are we doing quick?
And now,
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I mean, that's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. What are we doing?
LB, what are you doing?
On WEEI.
What are we doing?
Okay, I am aware that when it comes to the privilege that is granted those who ride bicycles in the city, I talk about it an awful lot. I am aware that I talk about it too much. But I will say, and if you're watching the show on Twitch or YouTube, and you should be, you can now see that the city of Boston has installed the city's first automated bicycle washing system at 12 Dry Dock Avenue. I'd love to know what that cost. I think first that would be my first question.
Goodness.
My second question is, since the dawn of time, and I'm an old man, I get it. Those of us who had bikes as children, we'd take the garden hose and give them a quick little wash over. And then thirdly, I would ask those of us who still drive a vehicle, like old heads, are we afforded a free car wash here in the city of Boston?
Yeah, after you get a certain amount of gas.
Are we just...
called a hose.
Are we non-entities that anybody cares
about? I think you're missing the most important question here.
Yes.
How does that fancy machine know that it's a bicycle going in there?
I don't know.
A lot of things could go in there.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be a ton of bums bathing in those things. Guaranteed.
It's adorable. It's like a mini car wash.
I bet you that thing's a couple hundred thousand.
It has to be.
Yeah. How does it know it's a bicycle?
What are we doing? A car wash for bikes?
Yeah.
Are we sure it's for bicycles or could it be for motorcycles?
It's the first ever bike wash station.
You could tell
in the city of Boston. Thank God they've been focused on this.
There's a little track in the middle, and then you put the bike on that track, and then it looks like it just kind of pushes that bike through the track, and then it looks like there's buttons or something on the side to hit start, and it just just pulls it through.
Meanwhile, there are people who can't find food to eat in the city of Boston.
I'd like a free car wash. Not after I've paid for seven of them.
It's ridiculous. It is literally in the Twitch chat. Somebody says that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
So stupid. Yep,
no, well, welcome to Boston.
It's also barely rained over the last 2.5 months. Right. So,
you can get a free one out there right now.
You need this.
Take your bike outside, you can get a free one. All right. Well, anyway, that is what are we doing? in which we ask a question about the point that we have reached as a society. The Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow coming up next.